What you know about me? I've seen it all, heard it all. Oh, what you know about me? I've done it all, just want it all. Oh, what you know about me? I've seen it all, heard it all. Oh, what you know about me? Oh, what you know about me? Oh, what you know about me?
Hey, welcome back to episode 104, More Than The Title. I'm your host as usual, Jared Thomas, Chief Revenue Officer at Outside The Box Digital. Yep. And you know I got my brother, my brethren, your favorite CEO, Chatty. Yo, what's good, baby?
I think I love your intros too, man. It gets them going.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen, man, this is super special for me, man. You know, this episode right here, man, for the fact that we were able to create this platform and not only create the platform, man, but, you know, have an episode like this where we can celebrate other women and then celebrate our women, the most important women in our lives. You understand? That gave us life and brought us into this world and made all of this possible. So I'm feeling good about this. This is an accomplishment. Like, this is one of those mama I made it moments.
This is a mama I made it moment on a mama I made it episode. We start off with that. That's dope. But now, like, real talk, man, before we intro our moms, man, first of all, shout out to all the women that came onto our platform, the women that we celebrate this month as well. Shout out to all the guests who've been on this platform. And also shout out to y'all, man, the listeners, the followers, the subscribers, everybody on the check-in, man. It's because of y'all we growing and glowing every month on this platform, y'all. We up to 60,000 right now a month on YouTube. We're going crazy on LinkedIn, y'all. And it's all because of y'all, man. When life be lifing, it's that support to keep us going, y'all. So we really, really appreciate y'all for rocking with us. That's straight up. You know what I mean?
It's the fuel. Fuel that we need in order to succeed.
Message. It's starting. The boy's starting. All right, let's get it. And before, also, you already know, shout out to our distribution partners. Shout out to the Live Podcast Network, the first woman-owned, Black-owned podcast network in the world. So if you want content from Black content creators like More Than The Title, make sure y'all download the app, scan the QR code. It's a bunch of dope podcasts like ours on there. You can support your favorite creator. And if we don't support our own, who will? You dig? So make sure y'all show love. Shout out to Angel and the team.
Boss Lady, what up?
That's it. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? With that said, without further ado, you know what I mean?
Let's start the show.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen, baby. Yeah. Let's make it happen. Let's do them intros. Oh. For our queen.
Fuck that.
We still messed it up. We still messed it up, but it's all love.
That's right.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna try it again. Let's try it again.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
Reverse order,
man. You literally laugh.
I'm not.
So before we even introduce our ladies, your eyes are not deceiving you. Yes, we are family, and yes, both of our mamas are named Renee.
That's a fact.
You can't make that up.
You can't make that up. Stuff. What'd you say, mama?
That's some powerful stuff right there.
I should let you know, right? That name Renee, it produces power. You heard? If your mama
ain't
sorry.
You're crazy.
So listen, man, like, you know, I'm gonna introduce my mom, man. I don't even know where to start, man. You know, we normally give out a lot of, like, accolades and you know, listen, my mom is she's college educated and she retired. She was a director at Volunteers of America before she decided to call it quits. And, you know, I used to go to her job and hang out with her. She, you know, Volunteers of America, for anybody that don't know what it is, it's a shelter system program where families and people come in, looking to rebuild their lives and stuff like that. So she was, you know, tasked with taking care of them, getting them back on their feet, getting them apartments and stuff. But that's all the superficial shit. How I like to introduce her is, my mother is, like, so unorthodox when it came to, like, the support system. This is what I want to, like, commend her on. Like, no matter what we went through, she had me on the hip, man. We was like motherfucking peanut butter and jelly. You know what I'm saying? We was like peanut butter and jelly for as long as I can remember. The only problem with that is she liked to walk every motherfucking where. We didn't have a car. And everywhere we had to go, she like, come on, we going to walk. And I'm like, well, how far? And she like, 10, 15 minutes. And if you know my mama, 10, 15 minutes to her, she a fucking speed walker. We 80 blocks in 10, 15. You know what I mean? She, we can't call her OJ. She's like, nah, don't worry. We get there. You know what I mean? So those are the things that I want to introduce her as, like, you know, just when we talk about support system, because we talk about support just exhaustively on this show. I can't think of a person that truly has supported me more through the goods, through the bads, through the really fucking goods, through the really fucking bads, and didn't, you know, turn a blind eye, didn't run away from the fight. Let me introduce my mama, Mama Love, Renee Fernandez. I love you, Ma. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for the introduction. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad you have me on your show. Thank you very much. It's an honor to see both of y'all out here doing what y'all do. I'm proud of y'all. You know I'm your number one fan. You know, moms get down with any and everything y'all trying to do. I'm always going to support you no matter what.
Message! I love it.
I'm that different type of mom. You know what I'm saying? This type of moms keep going out. I do me. I get around. I got my hand in this, my hand in that, and it's all good. You know?
Message! True hustler. The true hustler.
Yeah, I love it.
The true hustler. You know? That's where I get it from, ladies and gentlemen. The hustle is genetic. Please believe it.
Absolutely.
I was born with this shit.
Don't get no better.
I love
that's
it.
That's good, man. That's you know, I love y'all.
All
man.
Good. All good.
Love y'all, man. You know, I gotta, you know, like Chad said, we was gonna go scripted, but we're not gonna go scripted. We're gonna go straight off the top of the head. We're gonna go straight from the heart. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, like you said, from support systems. My mother been there from day one, always, whether it be a basketball game, whether it be a practice, whether it be homework, whether it be anything, just giving me the right mind frame. So on top of being a great mother, she's also a sister, you know, a daughter, auntie, one of the strengths and pillars of our family. Also been a teacher for 20 plus years, assistant principal in the Board of Education for over 20 plus years before she retired as one of the top assistant principals in the city. So on top of that, you know what I'm saying? But besides the titles, right? It's just for who you are, Ma. Like, you know, I love you more than anything. You are the reason why we started this. Without this, you know what I mean? Without both of your tutelage, without your strength, we wouldn't have the strength to do what we're doing right now. And that's straight up. So I just want to say, you know, I love you, Ma. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm just glad to have you here. It's an honor.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Introduce wait, Renee Hamilton. My mama, Renee Hamilton. I almost cried in this bitch. Almost cried.
Yeah. I know. I have to say, like I say, I support you because you know what I always feel, no matter what you do, you always land on your feet. You figure it out. You've always been that kind of person that some people go left, you're going to go right. You follow your own path, which is beautiful. You are your authentic self. And being working for the DOE all of those years, I've been blessed because I've been able to have experienced the journey with so many other children. Mm-hmm. So to me, even though I retired in 2019, I go back once a week. I work. It's just being there and paying it forward and seeing that journey because I've seen it all. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the visitation at Rikers. I've been there.
Message.
I'm the sister principal to knock on your door at 8 a.m. and say, get in school because you got a test. You know what? Investing in our kids. So I also very proud of what you'll do because y'all have the same mindset. Exactly. If you'll put your mind to it, because there's two paths to choose. You can go this way, you can go that way. But what it is, it's intentional. Your choices is what makes you what you are today. So I am proud of both of y'all with love. Good job.
Mama,
we love y'all. We love y'all.
Baby, right off the bat.
We love y'all.
Love y'all.
Love you back.
And let me tell y'all something, right? Like, you know, we always talk about family, our family foundation, our family moral. Let me just give y'all a little background. Like, when I say we do this shit for real, we actually do this shit for real. Like, my mama, his mama actually, like, grew up, like, a block or two away from each other. Yes. Our families. That's right, right? You remember, right? You know what I mean? So, we were literally up the hill, and they were down the hill, like, literally, like, a block and a half away from each other. That's They've known right. each other 20, 30 years. Our families have been interacting with each other. 2030. So this is not no like fake fly by night shit. We do this for real, right? Yes. And a lot of times you guys see pictures and images up. You know, me and Jared out, like Jared just put up a picture of his son's birthday. So even though we family, his son is also my godson. And you've seen his mother in the pictures and stuff like that. So we're always together, right? This is not no flop. I think we all anyway, right? You know what I'm saying? It's real for real. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's important because, listen, we from the hood. Families fight.
Yes.
Motherfucker, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But remember, I can say through this.
Yeah.
Woman's history month. And I just have to say, I am blessed. My mother's 84 years young, and I say that. My mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, my nana, would shut off the television to make us read 1 hour a day. We would fuss. But through that, I developed the love for reading. It would take me places and make me want more. Because I know a powerful message one of my students said. I said, you never been to Central Park? He said, no, we got to pay to get in here. I said, no. He said, miss, you can't miss something you never had. Right. So this is, I don't know, if you don't expose yourself to this, how can you want it?
But let's dive on that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we want to tell the story, right? You know, it's more than inside. We want to see, like, you know, first of all, to give the story of who we are, we need the story of y'all. You know what I mean? What are some of the things? So what are some of the, and mama love, you know what I mean?
Hold on,
mama. You gotta be specific because you know.
I know that's. I'm like, I don't like. Wait. Mama loves. I can't be.
But you know they got stories.
I love it.
You want to definitely got the stories.
Give them direction on where you want them to go. This shit might go left. We might have to.
I'm not gonna go.
Now let it. I want to hear from chat mom. Like, what's up?
Okay, so that's
okay. So we got the stories. It wasn't always easy. I had a good life. You know, I grew up in the South Bronx and Farmers Projects. You know what I'm saying? My moms gave us the world, but she was very strict with us. I just recently lost my mom, so I am the oldest woman now. I carried this on. My mother taught me a lot of things, how to be in the street, how to be a leader, not a follower, how to make up my own decisions and things like that. And I carry that on and I instill it in my kids. You know, I worked for everything I got. You know, things weren't handed to me, you know. So I learned the value of working hard, which I see y'all do. Because my son goes, sky's the limit. Even if you think you can't reach it, his limitations is crazy. And I admire him for them because I know where they come from. You know, I take the good with the bad because I had my ups and downs coming up during life. But when I turned that corner and I made my right decisions, it made me who I am today.
Message.
I'm a strong individual. I don't just settle for anything. You know, I back my kids. I support my kids. You know, I'm there 210%. I lead by example. You know what I'm saying? And we go through the struggles together.
That's a fact.
Together, you know. And the love that I have for my family is incredible. You know, I do what I do because that's who I am. That's how I was taught and raised, you know, as opposed to how I see some of these families today. I wish, you know, they grew up in my era. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad my son grew up underneath us, because everywhere I went, he was right there. You understand what I'm saying? And I didn't mind cracking the whip when he needed it as well. You know what I'm saying? But it made him who he is.
Hold on, no beating stories on the show. No beating stories on the show. I'm too grown.
No, but it made him who he is today.
I'm already playing.
And all you could do is sit back now. See, I'm retired too, so I sit back and I enjoy it and I watch it all. And I'm raising another generation. My grandbaby, she just made one at 65. Who thought I'd be raising a kid right now? You know, but it's good. It keeps me going, you know. It keeps my spirit. It keeps me going. It keeps me connected to my family. And my family just continues to grow. Jerry, you always been a part of the family.
Always, you know that.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I have my immediate family, my extended family, you know, and it's all good. You know,
I was thinking, if you said the beatings, I want to know from both of y'all, what was one of y'all toughest moments with us? Let's start with one of that. What was one of your toughest moments with us? From an honest perspective, huh?
I know mine.
Oh, you talking about
my toughest moments?
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we didn't always fly straight, nigga.
Okay.
we kept it real, you know? We dabbled, we did our thing.
I think one of my toughest moments with Chad was the fact to see him through high school and then make sure he stayed on the right track, because he was doing some things. At that moment, I had some doubt. Was he going to go in the military or he was going to be in the streets? He surprised us. You know, he finally graduated. I was at the school damn near every day at Kennedy. They be like, Chad, here come your mother. Because I was there. I made my presence known that you got to do this. You know, he did. He made me proud. You know what I'm saying? And listen.
I can attest to that. And my hardest time with Jared was I had to sign him out of Scaling High School because you could fail for free. So me and my husband cutting checks now, and he's messing up, putting him in a public school and letting him see he's showing up for class two or three times a week and getting 80s and 90s. I go on a parent teacher conference, and that's when I realize some teachers, and I'm not saying all, just show up, right? Now, do you even know my son? Because of his formative years and his, like you said, his education. But when he saw the difference in the quality of education, I think that was my toughest time to process that. Leaving Pele jackets in the locker without a lock on the damn somebody take it.
Oh, you wildin'. I'd have had a problem with that too.
In high school. You think I didn't worry about him? I wanted to come up there with a bat.
That was good. But Van, that was
there
good.
You touch it.
But for context,
no, I think it was the 10th grade, Renee. The 10th grade was my hardest. And I remember that. It's etched in my mind because he had to do summer school. He had to do summer school. He couldn't take a Regents because he had a cell phone and wouldn't give up his cell phone. He told the principal, yeah, all right, the principal. So, 10th grade, 11th grade.
Well, you know, running back and forth to the school was a part of it. You know, just keeping them in check, you know, running through school. You know, eventually I give it to him to make up his mind that he was either going to do it or he wasn't, because it would have determined what kind of life he had starting out the gate. And if you didn't take any lessons from me, I graduated high school. I went on to college. I got my degrees. You know, so if I wasn't the role model for you, you know, because you didn't have a dad in your life, you understand what I'm saying? So I had to be the role model. And for him to finally settle down and say, okay, I'm going to take it and run with it, I was really happy with him, you know?
Beautiful.
So he graduated. It was his birthday, and he had a going away party. He went in the military, and I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus, I did it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it surprised us, but then again, it didn't, because the kind of kid he is.
True.
You know?
They had
moments of wanting to show out, be bad, you know. Then they want to prove that, we can do it. I can do it, you know. So
because they gotta want to do it for themselves.
Right.
You gotta own it. Right. Messing up or not. If you own it, that's the only way you can change behavior. If you gotta own it.
Yeah.
So once you own it, is either you're gonna go left or you're gonna go right. It's your choices, but you gotta own it. And if you know what, I've seen parents bring their kids to school and the kid go out the next exit every morning.
Absolutely.
But if the kid don't want it, parent got to do what they got to do. He had to go to work, bring his daughter in, she go out the next exit. You got to want it.
Yeah, but it's the lessons that we see and it's the examples that we see determines on how quick we fucking want to get it. You know what I'm saying? And it's a testament to y'all, like real shit. Because I was going to say on the flip side, Chad, if you want to throw it back at them, what's one of our favorite moments? Like, what's one memorable mama moment from me and you? So we can stay on live. We're gonna tell y'all.
No, no, I got mine.
We're gonna tell y'all what our favorite moments are.
Let me tell you. I'm gonna tell you.
I love this.
My mama chicken shit. She don't like to fly. Let me tell you something. Our family from the South, mainly from Georgia. My mama's the queen of motherfucking Amtrak. We would all fly. She'd be like, I meet y'all down there in about 3.5 days. This is gonna have parties and shit. Let me tell you something, Bob and Renee. Look, she used to refuse. I mean, fucking refuse to get on a plane, right? All of us flying, all of us fuck. She'd be like, yeah, this Amtrak coming in about, I'll meet y'all down in about 2 days, right? But I was real proud of her because, you know, I told you, you know, Marine Corps boot camp about 3.5 months. You understand what I'm saying? Wow. And I'm like, yo, listen, Ma, this shit is in California. You gonna be on Amtrak a fucking week. You what you gonna do? Like you gotta cut this shit out. So my mom's like, true story. That was her first time on a plane. Like, I will not miss your graduation. She got my aunt, her boyfriend at the time. She's like, y'all motherfuckers gonna be on the left of me, right of me. Y'all gonna be holding my hands. And she flew in to California, man, to be there for me when I graduated Marine Corps boot camp, man. And that just, you know, again, like, you know, I understand what fear is, right? Some people have like it can be debilitating. Fear, it's a real fucking thing, right? It's not, you know, we laugh and we joke, we fuck around, we make fun of people, but fear is debilitating. And when you're afraid of something and you're so used to doing something for so long, you just write it off. Like, I'm fine the way I do things. So for her to face her fears like that, man, and get on that plane and fly 3,000 miles to come see me graduate, man. I'll never forget that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Now fly now everywhere.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So that for me, man, that, you know, that for me was just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, rocking all the way, man. You know, so I love you for that, man. You know, overcoming your fears, man. I definitely sent a message more than you know, like, yo, listen, I know I'm afraid, I know I'm this, I know I'm that, but shit, if this is what you need to support you, man, I'm a rock with you. You know what I'm saying? And look, you see,
and I drank that bottle, Alize, and got
So look, cousin, this is cousin Jazz, Selena's daughter. She said facts, you know what I'm saying? Yes. She really debilitating, you know, she love you, you know what I'm saying? Joy, nothing like a family bond. Cousin Renee looking good, Jerry. You know what I mean? Remind me of Vincent. Thanks for the invite. You know what I mean? It's a joy. So, you know.
Yeah, man. Oh, moment. Cool, man.
What about you? Talk to me.
So it's so many, bro. But if I had to think of one, man, it's so many stories. But I would just commend mom just everything that she sacrificed. Like, yo, bro, like back when we was playing ball, back in like early the elementary days, man, pops was sitting there working. You know what I'm saying? It didn't matter if we had a game in fucking Nova Scotia. Mama could have fucking two classes, worked the whole day, did everything, man. And I just remember you always being there. Just you always being there. I could look up in the fucking stands, and I know mama was there. The game don't start till mama did. And I get 2 points, nigga. But when I see mama in the stands, now I'm busting your ass. You know what I'm saying? I'm busting your ass. And I knew she was coming. Yeah. And so that's something that I know, like, as a grown-ass man now, that you appreciate, you know what I'm saying? Because we know what it takes to do that shit now in real time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As parents. And that shit is just like, damn.
Yeah,
I did it. You know what I mean? So I just appreciate that. Like I said, just you graduating, doing all that shit. Keisha fucking babysitting us every week. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, we went through the real, man. But it was the sacrifice we needed to get to where we was at, man. So I just always remember man, straight up.
That is true. And I tell you what, it's because you know something, you got to be present. I may not have to give you everything that you want, the new joy. I don't even have to give you the latest thing, but being present, you know, that's why it's so important sometimes when you're around. I'm saying my grandsons, who I love dearly, Jameer and Case. But Jameer's at that age where I say, be present. And he says, Grandma, what you mean? Turn the phone off. Eat dinner with me. Look at my eyes. You know, just be present in the moment. You know how hard that is for this young generation, Renee?
Yeah.
Oh, you know how hard it is, Mama, to be present? Not that they're doing it intentionally, but it's so automatic.
Yeah, and I understand that because, you know, my grandbaby, like I said, I'm present. She's there. My grandson, CJ, who just come home from from Kuwait. He's there every chance he get to be around me. You know what I'm saying? He come see me, he visit me, we spend time together. So I understand it, you know. You know, we always got one lost one, but I love him still. You know what I'm saying? He'll get it together. Yeah, he'll get it together sooner or later when he figure it out, you know. Sometimes
I know what you mean, though, and we love family, and I have to commend my daughter Tasha with her kids, keeping them busy and keeping them present and being present in those moments that count. Kids with their little eyes, they look up and want to see you. So shout out to Tasha and Bree and also Natalie.
Absolutely. Because
it's the being present for all those special times. It means a lot. Even it's Uncle memories, Jay. Uncle Jay up there better be listening.
Memories, man. That's what it's about, man. Because at the end of the day, that's all we got is these memories, man.
Yes, being present. We travel every year together.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say this. You know, I don't know what happened, but I missed that last barbecue y'all motherfuckers did down south. When we went down south, he was like, "Cuz everybody was." I forgot.
With Eddie Craig. Yeah.
I'm not missing that shit again. You know what I'm saying? I seen the footage. I didn't like it. Wasn't a part of that
family.
And you know what I told you on the phone. I'll say it live, bro. Everybody, the whole family was like, "Man, just how proud, man!" Because they remember the days, man.
Yeah.
It was like, "Yo, man, to see how you evolved, bro. How the family is involved. Like, that shit is real."
Especially Chad.
That's what Chad's out.
Chad has a nickname, Bad Chad.
Yeah, so, you know what? My husband has been
for years. And people see him now and be like, "That's Bad Chad."
What?
You know, like, they could not.
That was his nickname.
Right. They could not see how he has grown, how he, you know, move forward, and they thought the worst, and he proved them wrong, and he's just going straight forward, you know.
Yes, like I said, my husband can attest to that.
Right, like Mar said, it's a path that you take. You could have stayed on Bad Chad, but he chose to say, "You know what, I'm gonna walk this way and see what happens." And so far, it's been a success for him, you know. But the nickname sticks.
I never heard that.
Let me tell you something, right? We talk about it. We've talked about this several times on the show. You know, we talk about showing up, right? So, you know, and this is to, you know, Jared's side of the family. You know, one of the people that I've accredited multiple times on the show that I will never stop accrediting for helping to build my foundation, you know, is Big B, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the love I got. The love I got for Butch, man, like that man changed my life, man. You understand what I'm saying? And he was around during my most craziest moments, man. Yes. And I still remember, let me tell you, you know, I don't know if you noticed, Mama Hamilton. I don't know if you noticed, he used to call me Doc. That was his nickname for me. He used to call me Doc.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, his nickname for me was Doc. Yeah, his nickname for me was Doc. So whenever he see me out there, you know, wilding out and going crazy, like, "Come on, Doc, man, come here, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he would address the shit that I was doing, but more importantly, his emphasis was like, "Yo, listen, man, you got homework, man, you studying, man." And we used to go upstairs and he used to do homework with me, man. He used to sit down and talk with me. It was never about money. It was never about buying me shit. It was never about money. It was always about instilling fundamentals in me. You understand? Where he was like, "Yo, listen, man, you got to learn this shit, man. And this is the shit that you need to be prioritizing, because once you become an adult, man, this is all you're going to have." So in my eyes, man, I task him with being probably one of the most positive influential men that I've ever had in my fucking life, man. And I'm being honest. Like, and I've said this how many times, Jay?
That's a fact. Numerous,
you understand? Without him, man, honestly, like, I don't know, man, because you don't realize those lessons stick with you.
Yes.
Because you only in the moment, you're in the moment. I'm in the moment. I'm in go mode. I'm in the moment. But those fundamental lessons stuck with me. So when it was time to dial everything back, I had something to build on.
That's a fact.
Yes.
Something to build on, because those lessons was, you know, my grandmother, you know, I had a lot of other people, and I had positive men in my life, but you know, Butch was my guy. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that was my mother. And I used to tell my mom all the time, instead of stay with Butch. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's funny. I just told Jared that today. Yeah, he's my biggest fan. When I became an assistant principal, he came down to Brandeis High School. You know, with that energy, that good energy. Yeah. Said, I'm proud of you, sis. Mm-hmm. And he brought me a little something from my desk, a little nameplate or something, whatever it was. That small gesture of acknowledgement. Yeah. He validated, you know, to be feel validated. And that's the word I'm looking for. It was just, that was just his way. So I'm so here with you. He is missed so dearly.
And, you know, when now that we're adults and we've lost people, and in the moment, it feels terrible, right? Because you don't want to lose anybody that you truly care about.
That's true.
But this is where the spirituality come in, and people like Butch and my brother Darian that passed away. When you look at the impact that they had in that short amount of time, it lets you know that they were put here for a specific reason.
That's a fact.
They were put here for a specific reason. And what we have to understand that some of our roles are of a supporting role. It's a supporting role. You understand? Yes, you can lead also, but sometimes your role is as a supporting role for you to support somebody else to get them to where they need to be. You understand?
At this stage, for me, I play more of a supporting role now than ever. You know, in the earlier part, I led by example. You know, I held your hand and walked the walk with you. You know, but now I sit back and watch you do you, and I support you in every way possible now that I can. You know, I'm proud of y'all. You know, I see where you was and where you're at now, and you're still climbing, and you got a lot of time. You know, you got a lot of time to do what you got to do and get it right. You know, long as you stick with it, work hard, but I'm always going to be there too. I can't be there no more. You know, I'm always going to support y'all. You know, as long as you're doing something positive, I'm all for it. You know, when you start going left, I'm going to let you know, nigga, you're going left.
Hold on, though. You know, because you know, we came up a certain... I gotta let it be known. When I go left, man, a lot of that shit I learned from you any motherfucking way. So you know,
it's learned behavior, but exactly where you could critique it now. I own it because I used to go left.
I used to be like, I learned that shit from you anyway. You taught me how
to do it. But you gotta critique it now. You getting older. You only go left when we gotta go left. You know,
I got you.
And that's very rare now. But I go left, not like this no more. You know, I use my mouth now. Like, I just break them down. Like, listen, that ain't necessary, blah, 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 blah. And I try to educate them as to why you don't have to go left. Yeah. You know, as before, you had to do was blink and it was popping.
That's a fact.
And we be thumping and popping and we didn't care. But it ain't like that no more.
You know, it's a different time, a different era.
I'm older now.
Wait.
Me and Jared talked about this today, right? Because me and Jared talk every day. We talk all day. You know, our difference in personalities, right? We still have to blend. And a lot of times we agree and sometimes we disagree, right? But one of the things we were talking about today, right? And, you know, Jared was like, yo, it seemed like you feel some sort of way. And then I said, I always feel some. Did you just meet me? Like, I always feel some sort of way. I've just been toning this shit down for you. I always feel some sort of way. That's why you always see me by myself. That's why I don't really fuck with too many, because I always feel some. I hold motherfuckers accountable. And it's always like, I'm quick to be on site with shit. I just try to calm this shit down because I'm with you. And you be like the, we call it the good angel. You be the good conscience. Like, yo, cuzzo, come on. We got too much to lose.
You can't change other people. You just change how you deal with them. If that's who you are, if I know that's who you are, sometimes we have to agree to disagree. Because I'm a true Scorpio.
Yeah,
see, I'm a Scorpio.
I'm a Scorpio.
So
wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, look, you can't make this shit up. Hold on.
I'm a Scorpio.
Grew up a block and a half away from each other. Same name. same sign. Yeah. Can't make this shit.
We don't. We sting you. We don't wait. We got to tell you how we feel right then and there. I can't off sleep the rip. If I don't let you know I'm feeling some type of way.
I'm not gonna hold it in. I'm not gonna.
We ain't got no Elsa.
I'm trying to tell you. And either way you take it, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get it out. It just determine if it go left or we.
Well, you can take it any way you want. It's the way I say it. Process it.
Yeah. There you go.
Process it.
I'm with you.
Say what I mean. I mean what I say.
And you can holler at me later.
You see the comments. I love your mama.
Yeah, listen. Everybody joining in, man. Danny says she love y'all, man. You know what I mean? She love y'all energy, man. You know, like I said, you know, you can't. One thing me and Jared don't like when people do is they try to come on the show sometimes and they try to, because they've reached a certain level of success, whether economically, education-wise, or whatever the case may be, they try to like eliminate the negative shit that they went through and only attribute their success to the positive. And we always kick that shit back. Like, you're out of your mind. You are not just a product of just the good shit that happened in your life. You understand? You are a product of both the negative and the positive shit because it helped to mold you into the person that you are solidified in that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, I could so definitely true. Say yeah. the negative in my life definitely made who I am today. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Anybody that knows me, know, even though I had a good parents and a good life, I still went left. And that negativity and me being out there in the streets doing what I was doing at the time made me the person I am today. And I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't hide it from nobody because this is why I chose the profession I did, to give it back, to say, just because you made a bad turn don't mean you can't bring it 360 and be a productive person. But and me doing what I did to get my life back on track, oh, I'm Gucci now. And I can hang out with the best of them. Whether you had the silver spoon and was given anything and I earned mine, I can hang out with the best of them. You know, and I could walk the walk, I could talk the talk, I know how to get down and grind. Whatever it takes to do what I need to do, it's going to get done.
I love it.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with what you're saying because I attribute my mom exposing me to things that I didn't realize until I became an adult. Things that were free. Like, we lived on Bathgate Avenue in the Bronx somewhere. She would get on the L train and take us into the city, just to Central Park, or to the museums, but exposing me to things like that, I attribute to where I'm at. Because just like the kids said, you can't want something you never had. Education saved me. My love for reading and knowing that there was a whole world beyond the South Bronx.
Absolutely.
I wanted to be part of that world.
Message.
Yeah.
But in 1919 said that they wasn't allowed to read. Education is free. It's going to open up doors for you. But I couldn't even fathom because look, three circle down. They're trying to burn books, get rid of books. Look how we going in the world.
Yeah,
that's a fact though.
I contribute my success and my little pitfalls to where I grew up in the South Bronx and during that era that I grew up in the South Bronx. I'm a 50s baby, you know? So the people during that time had impact in my life.
Yes.
You know, and I carry it. You know, what was for me, I kept, and what wasn't for me, I let go. You know, and I move accordingly. You know, some understood, some didn't. Oh, well, everybody ain't gonna get it. But you know what? if you took the time to know me, then you would understand, you know. So today when I look at y'all, you know, and I'm saying, I see myself and you, I watch y'all go through it. I watch y'all, the nonsense y'all go through. I watch y'all get down and put your heads together and make it happen. I watch y'all when y'all just having a good time,
yes.
You know, whether it's going to a party, dinner, but y'all need to stay out the airport, I'm gonna say, because every time I see you, you're flying, but you don't have me with you. I'm going for a trip. And Mother's Day is coming.
I know there was an airport one time for 10 hours. I don't know.
Hold on. With that being said,
we got to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Yeah, if you really love the show, like how you want to love the show, you should order your More Than a Title merch. And we're going to take Mama Love to the islands.
That's right. You got to take our mamas on a trip. You know what I mean?
On the islands, and we're going to film it. We're going to go somewhere, you know. But you got to get your damn merch.
Yeah.
Scared right now. You already know. Get your cups, get your beanies, your courses, how to build relationships and revenue.
Yeah.
Scan that. You already know. And make sure y'all subscribe and everybody on the check in. Appreciate y'all, man. Straight up.
Yeah. Because if you don't,
gotta pay the bills.
Instead of going to an island, we going to the island of Manhattan.
That's it. We will be.
Five train next stop, 49th Street.
Damn right. We find a happy hour somewhere.
Wait a second. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
We're trying to make it.
Yes, it is.
And it's right. Listen, yeah. I do the happy hour too.
I love it.
You already know, Bob.
You know, I love it. Listen, I need something to balance me out after a full week. You know what I'm saying? Of raising a grandbaby. I need something to balance me, keep me level, you know? So I do go out. I have my fun. I probably party as much as y'all do, you know?
Time out. You party more than me now. I'll tell you right now. Hold on. And Arlene just jumped on Instagram.
Arlene don't do it.
We'll testify to this.
Arlene don't do it.
Listen, you know how many Arlene, for anybody that's not listening, Arlene is my god sister. We didn't even know we were related. We got cool in high school. We met in high school, gambling in the motherfucking lunchroom, rolling dice. This was the only girl that used to beat me in dice. I hated her.
That's crazy. Yo, you know what's crazy? I got a similar story like that. You know, real simple. Call was daughter. One of my cousins, one of my best friends in high school, bro, Evander, got kicked out of scam to go to Evander. I chill with this girl every single day, never tried to do no sniper shit, nothing like that.
Cousin. Yeah, exactly.
Just happened to be my cousin. Just happened to be love, like real shit. It was like, yo, damn, ain't that some shit?
And that's what it was with Arlene, man. She was the fucking flyest thing in the school, and we just stayed tight. And when I came home from the military, we had lost, you know, communication until I came home from the military. Funny thing is, I lived on Webster. She lived like one block up on like Clay or something like that. Like literally her private house was like up the mountain, right up the block from my apartment. One day we was in her house. She's smoking, I'm drinking. And she like, yo, let's look through this photo album and old pictures. So we looking through the photo album and I'm like, her father name is George, but we call him Kite. I'm like, why you got a picture of Kite in your photo? And that's my godfather. She like, cause that's my father. And I'm like, get the fuck out. I know this man, Molly. I ain't never seen. She like, no, that's my father for real. I said, that's my godfather. Like godfather for real, for real. And then through the pictures, here come a picture of my mama. And then I was like, that's my mama right there. She's like, your mama's Renee. Like, that's my mama. And then and she called her father. She's like, nigga, me and his mama like best friends. We grew up there. And we didn't even know we was related like that. You know what I'm saying? So it just go to show you like
that. Oh, wow.
But you know, she'll call me sometime and be like, nigga, I was just partying with your mama.
Live your best life.
Yeah, she's like, I'm in the car popping bottles. She dropping it low. Where the fuck is you at?
I love it.
She's in an all black affair.
Yeah. You got to keep living. You can't just sit still.
Yeah.
I love it. You do. No, tomorrow's not promised. No, I remember
you rocking shit on the stage in Cancun and shit. You know, I'll talk about that. Don't make you ain't fucking child. That ass won the beer contest. Told Daddy O's. Me, Joe, first time out there, 22, and we fucking tore them up. Mom wanted to turn around, mom on the stage, hitting them with the joint. Hit him with the bank head. Nah,
I love it, man.
I remember our vacation.
You want to go with it, bro? Because there's so many different things I do want to ask. What are you thinking?
I mean, you know, let's just try to, like we do with any guests that come on the show, let's just try to give a well-rounded understanding of not only us, but our moms and our upbringings. You know what I mean? So, you know, we can, let me see. We talked about toughest times. We talked about some of our proudest moments. Oh, how about this, man? You know, so let's talk about like life growing up in the South Bronx, because we talk about this a lot on the show. A lot of people seem to think that where you grow up at, and when you grow up in poverty, and the effects of what poverty does to a person. Once you become like successful, you should kind of like stop talking about it, or kind of like shun that and leave that alone. What's your opinions on that?
Never forget where you come from. Absolutely not. I'm proud to say I grew up in the projects in the South Bronx, you know, same thing going on today, just a different way back then, the drugs, the crime spree, it all played a role in my upbringing. So no, I'll never forget. I don't care how high I go, how rich I get, or whatever. My upbringing has a major part in my life. I'm proud to say I grew up in the Bronx. What? Your neighborhood had nothing on my neighborhood.
I believe it. I can tell you one thing that's different than the neighborhood I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of these famous people come out of Forest. I seen them before they got famous. Don't let me tell the stories now.
Yeah. I believe it.
I definitely believe it. Because you wasn't always the way you are now when you got up on that platform, you know. But it's all good. If you choose to eliminate that part of your life, then you ain't being real with yourself.
Yeah, it is.
I'm keeping it 100 with me. That's where I was born and raised. That's where I spent my young adulthood and my childhood coming up. And we had fun, you know. We went to the center, play Ring Olivia, Johnny on the Pony. We were kids then. As we got older, you know, we got to. So it played a major role in my life. And I'm never going to forget where I come from. And that's why I did what I did. I went back in my neighborhood and I gave it back. I gave 15 years to the show. Wow. I went from being a housing specialist to a director. I did homeless. I did veterans. I did mental health. You name it, I did it for 15 years. That was my way of saying thank you and giving it back. And then I walked away because I was done.
I love it. I mean, growing up in the South Bronx for me was a different era, because I was a 60s baby where the cops on the beat would walk the beat. They would come in the house and have dinner with us.
There you go.
They would come in the house and have dinner with us. The whole neighborhood knew everybody. If I did something on this block, the lady of the block, my mom knew before she got home. You would go to the butcher or the corner, get whatever you want for the week, and he put you in the book. Okay? This is real talk. You would go to the cleaners, put your clothes in. They know your payday, not your Friday, you get your clothes. It was a different mindset in a community that all stuck together. One day we would eat at Miss Jessie's house. One day her kids would eat with us. You save money on meals. All of that come into play, especially the fact, the relationship that the cops we will have, so much to the fact that they will come in your house, have dinner, be on the beat, and still go out and do their job. Is a different kind of world we live in now. But like I said, I'm a 60 baby. So all of those, the good, the bad, the ugly, the gangs, the black spaces, all the bad, because it was a lot of bad.
That's right.
It was a lot of good.
Message. And you got to take both worlds and make it to whatever you want out of it. You know, I did what I did because after going through what I went through, I found my passion. That was my passion, to give back what was given to me, another chance. You know what I'm saying? So I took it and I ran with it. I couldn't save everybody, but I damn sure made a hell of an impact on a hell of a lot of people. You know, one way or another. So I'm good, you know. And now to sit back and say, I see y'all doing your thing. I'm proud of y'all. Because where I end my story, your story keeps going. And I'm always going to be a part of that story. You know what I'm saying? No matter where it lands y'all, I'm always going to be a part of that story.
That's it. There's
message.
There is no our story without y'all story.
Because we moms.
That is true. That's a Fendi fact.
And it's Women's History Month. So shout out to all the women, strong women who's made us, who's always been there, sacrificing all of the women, because that's powerful. even to Kamala Harris, the first African American woman vice president. People took that lightly, but guess what? That's history. But,
absolutely.
But I'm gonna ask you that, Ma. What was your biggest? What's one of the biggest lessons Grandma taught you? Women's History Month. Let's salute to Grandma. What's one of the biggest lessons you grown from growing up?
Okay, I was bused to a school where I was the only Black girl in my class for 4 years, right? So my friends was white, Italian, over there, Missoula Parkway.
Yes.
I didn't understand racism. All of them were my friends. We ate lunch together. The biggest lesson my mother taught me, that it's okay to be different. Because when I got back to my hood, those are the ones who looked at me differently.
Message.
I would want to go to the library because that's all I knew. That's what my friends were doing. That's what my school friends, you know, of like minds. I mean, this school was a gifted and talented program where we was reading the New York Times in the third grade. When I came home, I used to cry because they didn't want to play hopscotch with me, freeze, whatever it is. The kids always treated me different. And my mother taught me it's okay to be different.
Different. I agree.
That's hard now because that's a form of bullying. Now that I look at it, I was bullied. I was bullied. Nobody told me, calling me Oreo. I was bullied.
Hate it.
You ain't gonna play no damn
video. Help me, please. Because again, you don't know that I was 8 years old. I just knew I was different because I get on this bus and go to school. I should have been going to PS59 down the block with the rest of the girls from the block. Because then I would have something to talk about when I got home. But we had nothing in common. Couldn't talk about anything but hopscotch, run cats, playing games. We couldn't talk about anything because the one girl who was the baddest and the toughest on the block protected me. She knew they didn't like me. She wouldn't let them beat me up. Because you know what she told me one day privately? You are different. You are different. And why not me? Like, maybe she wanted to be like me. That's a powerful message. Because
keeps it up.
Yeah. She knew I was different, but she shielded me. Even though they called me names, they didn't beat me up.
But well, they game was good.
Wanted me. I wish I could find her now, because I swear to God, I'll take her to lunch. She protected me when I was young. So my mother told me it's good to be different. I know, Mom, you may be listening.
Yeah.
But it was hard. I was angry. I didn't want to listen to my mom. I wanted to be like everybody else. But it's okay now. And I was bullied. I'm gonna put that in my journal.
That's it. I'm gonna let you. Anybody, but I'm putting cases on all you bitches.
No,
when this thing pops.
That's when limitations are renewed, motherfucker. You still can catch a case for that.
You know what I'm saying?
Right? He sure will. He would. He definitely would.
What's one of the biggest lessons that you feel like you learned from Grandma?
Woo, that's a tough one. Because my mother was a no-nonsense person. You know what I'm saying? My mother got down with us on everything. The good, the bad. Being outside jumping rope with us, to out there throwing joints with us. But she was strict. You're going to school. You're going to do your work. You're going to come upstairs at 6 o'clock, sit your ass down, eat dinner. My mother, she was lenient, but she was straight. But she was the boss. You know what I'm saying? And back then, I didn't understand it. Like, we worked, some of you, she the only mom used to take money from us. And I didn't understand it. We only making $105. How much of this money do you want? But at the end of the summer, she said, "Here, I matched it. Now go buy some school clothes."
Message.
That's why
we were the kids that never went to a school in our neighborhood.
Wow.
I was part of the first Black kid when they started the yellow school bus busing them out.
Yeah,
my elementary school was up there on Neal Avenue by Jacoby Hospital, and then I went to 144 by Co-op City. Then I went to Evander. So we never went to a school in the hood, you know. But my mother, yo, you're not going outside. You got homework. Well, if you do your homework, so my mother taught us so much. Dinner, we in bed by a certain time. She didn't care. You know what I'm saying? But then she showed the the passion side. She loved us. We were the flyest kids in the project. You know, what she didn't buy, she made. You know what I'm saying? But she got down with us. You know what I'm saying? And I think that toughness I take from my mom, no doubt. And we bump heads. Now, don't get me wrong. There's many times we bump heads. But I love her for being who she was. You know, to see how kids are today, I'd be like, whoa, thank you, Ma. I didn't understand it then, but I do now. You know what I'm saying? The way these kids talk to their moms, or they don't listen, or they don't want to go to school, or they don't have the love for their family. Now, I don't understand it now. You know what I'm saying? Where did we go wrong? You know what I'm saying? Whereas our moms was there, knee deep in the trenches with us.
Yes.
I was knee, and Chad is fortunate because he had the best of both worlds. I lived in my mother's house when I had Chad for 11 years. So he got the upbringing of my mother as well as me.
Oh, that's powerful.
As opposed to my daughter, I was already out of the house. You know, when I had my daughter. So I see the difference in him. I see me in him. I see my mother in him. Because we knockheads. Me and him knockheads. Because he's stubborn as shit. You know? He think he the boss all the time. But I gotta, hey, you know what I'm saying? But it's all a part of learning and growing and changing with the times with our kids, and then you gotta adjust with the generation that comes behind them.
Yes. You
know? So every generation is different, you know. But it's one thing I always try to leave with them is family first. Stick together, love each other. Y'all don't have to hang out every day. Check on each other. You know, support them. That's what it's about.
Yes. Yes.
You could be successful and be lonely. And be lonely.
But you mom's know? Loves are unconditional.
Unconditional.
Unconditional. Through it all. Yeah. I could smash your head and the next day I'd be like, you want a burger? It's all good.
I'm calling you mama love, so you know what I'm talking to. When I say mama love, you know I'm talking to you. I tell mom, this is one of the places that we clash. Right. And me and Cuzzo clash with this. Like, my love is not unconditional. Like, I tell my mother all the time, like, yo, I appreciate all the shit you taught me. But be clear, like, me and you are almost completely different in a lot of things. Like, my love is not unconditional. You know why? Because my love is conditionally based on how the fuck you are treating me as a person. I'm not going to love a person that's not showing me love back. I'm not going to love a person that is doing detriment to me. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I say this shit all the time. Right. Blood make you related. It does not make you family. I've had some people that are blood related to me that do the most vile, nasty, disgusting shit ever in life. And then I've had people that are not related to me show me more love and compassion than people that are blood. So that's one of the ways that we are completely different.
But my I can say your mom's love, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
A mother's love is unconditional because they love you through it all. Other people in relationships will love you with conditions. I'm talking about my mother's love.
Right.
Never having to say I'm sorry and keep it moving.
Okay.
Knowing to say let's agree to disagree. Okay. Her telling me I disagree with your choices, but I'm by you. That's unconditional love.
Yeah.
Telling me I don't agree with what you're doing, but I got your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that's
my perception of what unconditional love. Let's agree to disagree, but keep it moving.
Anybody outside of mama.
Yeah.
Keep it moving. Everybody outside of mama to me is going to love you with conditions. As soon as something go wrong, they go left. Or they want you to be a certain way. But a mother's love to me is unwavering. That's the only thing I have to say.
But I can even with family doing fucked up shit, I still look at family's family because I can't change who that is. I might not have to fuck with you, but I'm still going to have love for you. That's just what it is. You know, I just ain't got to fuck with you. I can't choose who my cousins and them is.
Let's agree to disagree.
I can't choose who they is. Nah, that's just me.
I can't choose
who they is. But like, at the end of the day, bro, look at what we doing. What are we doing this for? They ain't just mama love and doing it for the entire family, bro.
Right.
This is what it's about. So we type of dudes that think like that. So like, you know, if you do something fucked up, then you out of here. But
No. But here's the thing, though, right? Here's the thing. Yes, we are doing it for our family, right? Mm-hmm. But let's be, like I said, let's agree to disagree, because here's the thing, right? I done been through too much motherfucking shit, right? And I say this all the time. Like, they had bets on me that I wouldn't live to see 18. I started getting kicked out of school in the fourth fucking grade. Oh, wow. It took me three elementary schools, three, to graduate elementary school. Got kicked out of one school in the fourth grade. Actually, they kicked me out the whole fucking district. Had to go to Soundview, live with my aunt. Went to that school for the fifth grade. And after 27 fights, we all looking at, you remember? So, Mama Love, you gonna remember this. Remember back in the day? They used to have like 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". All the top classes had the one in front of it, right? Yes. So, and I laugh and I tell this story all the time. It's funny to me, but it's ignorant and shit, but I still love to tell it, right? I tell people, I'll be like, yo, listen, I was the valedictorian of every fucking school I got kicked out of. Process that. I was the smartest kid in every fucking school I got kicked out of. I remember in the sixth grade, right before graduation, in my third school, now I'm back on, I'm on Washington Ave, Ghost Town. Mm-hmm. And I cursed the principal out. So I had the highest reading scores, the highest math scores. I should have been the valedictorian. My mother came to school. They pulled it to the side. I said, listen, he's going to get about 2,700 awards, but we will not let this motherfucker give this speech. Wow. We will not let this motherfucker give the valedictorian speech because he just cursed out the assistant principal. But he's going to get the awards, but we're going to let the salutatorian give the speech. Here's the thing, man. And like, I'm not being funny, man, but you got to understand this, right? When they say it take a village, right? It takes so much to raise one person. Good, bad, and different. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. My message is very clear. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. A mistake is something that you do by accident. I walked, I didn't see the hole, I tripped over it. That's a mistake. The moment you see the hole there, if you keep walking and tripping over it, it's not a mistake anymore. It is a deliberate action. You are choosing to do something that way, right? So my thing is, we have to start holding each other more accountable and stop with the emotional attachment shit, because that's the only way that a person is going to realize that their behavior is not acceptable. If we keep leading with love and keep giving everybody chances, it's almost like the movie Planet of the Apes, where Caesar kept, you know, handing his, you know, we monkeys, we apes, he kept giving his hand out to the monkey that had the emotional trauma. And what the monkey tried to do, try to kill his ass. That's what I'm talking about, right? There has to be a line that you have to draw in the sand and say, listen, some things are just, we cannot come back from. No, I won't do you harm. Okay. I'll refrain from doing you harm, but I can never fuck with you again. You will not benefit from the success of what we're doing over here when you never contributed to it. That's just where I stand.
Nah, I think it all depends on
what you're saying. And I'm mad at you. And you're entitled to that.
Yeah.
You're entitled to how you feel about that. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just going to say, I don't go as extreme as you do. I might shut them down, you know, but in my mindset, listen, God don't like ugly. That don't mean I gotta act like you. You know what I'm saying? You know, and we just went through this yesterday, Chad, me and you, on a situation, you know. Right. So I understood what you said, and I could have did it your way, but I said, you know what? He all good because he by himself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'll leave him alone. That's don't invite him. But I still got love for him. You know what I'm saying? I still got the love for him. I'm not going to hurt him, but I'm not going to mess with him either. You know what I'm saying? Chad just sees it a little differently. And when he's stuck on something, he's stuck on it. And I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying? That's his views. That's his opinion. And he moves that way. I'm just going to stay humble and say, listen, I don't got to go out my way. I don't got to go to the extreme to make you get the same message that Chad is giving you. You know what I'm saying? I'll do it a little different. And I might sugarcoat it and say, hey, I still got love for you, but I just can't reach you right now. I love you from a distance.
It's the Leo in me. It's the fire.
I love you from a distance.
Your presentation is everything, but you choose who's, I choose in my life, who's in my space or not.
Right.
I choose that. Can no one take that from it, right?
Yeah.
So if your energy's off, then we off. If I feel you're not giving, I don't even have to express it because the way I move is the way I move. If you're not in my space, then there's a reason for it. You know what I'm saying? I choose who's in my space. To leave all that negative, because I don't even want to address it. I'm getting too damn old, too tired. I ain't explaining this, you know? Bless me for being here another day, Lord. Yeah. A day I'll never see again. But I feel like this. If I got to tell you that your energy's off, that's too much. You can feel it. Yeah. I'm just that person. If we're not vibing, and well, I don't agree how you're moving, and this is a very important thing. If you don't agree how somebody else is moving, then get you trapped over, put you in a situation that you don't want to be in, then they can't be in my space. You
messy! That's the baby.
Well, I'm not going to, at this stage of the game in my life, have anybody in my circle that I deal with that's negative.
That's negative.
The people I deal with, I love them. I mean, and we go through our little things, but that's just a part of it.
Yes.
For the most part, it's always good. I have fun. We love each other. We respect each other. You know, we got our own opinions about things. We can sit down and discuss it. You know, I deal with the same crowd all the time.
That's intentional.
Sometimes I don't add no new people to my crowd. You understand?
That's intentional. That's what I'm saying.
I go out, I'm going out with my crew. You know, if I see you there, then yeah, I'm mingling, da da da. But I know how to easily just stay in my lane. You know what I'm saying? So
I agree.
There won't be no issues, no problems, no nothing. Some people just don't understand me. Okay, I get it. I ain't mad at you, you know, but I'm going to be who I'm going to be. Now, whether you like it, you accept it, that's on you. But I can't be nobody but be myself. You know what I'm saying? That's true.
That's authenticity, you know, and Mama Love talked about that earlier, about being your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
Jared talked about that on a regular. I don't know. And see, and that's why, like, I'm not being funny, but I don't have a rep. Anybody that knows me, anybody that knows my family, and this is me and Jared harp on this shit, and we're going to keep saying it all the time. Like, we don't know how to be anybody else but us, right? There is no fucking representative when you meet us. The way you meet me now, you see my mama right below me. The way I talk, this is how you meet me. You understand? Because we not that old, but guess what? We are mentally, you know, intelligent enough that we don't have fucking time to be playing games. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time or the patience or the resources to be creating another fucking persona to impress a motherfucker to like me. Jared, what we say? We like motherfuckers that like us. We love motherfuckers that love us. If I'm not convincing you to love me, I ain't convincing you to like me. If you don't like me, hey man, no problem. See?
But that's the message within itself, bro. How we got to 104 episodes and done what we've done without being authentic? We wouldn't be able to do that unless we was authentic.
Right.
And that's the message. You know what I mean? You don't got to fake. Doesn't matter who we talk to. It could be a billion.
But you can't fake this, Jared.
That's a fact.
When you interact with people like yours, you feel the energy. You see it. You can't fake that. There's no faking this. You could see, oh, he's for real. He's about his business. You know, he knows what he's talking about. He has a clear vision of where he want to go and how he want to get there. That a person has to see in y'all, you know, ain't no faking what y'all doing. You know what I'm saying? And anybody intelligent enough to sit down and have a conversation with y'all, gonna say, wow, them young men, they got some heads on their shoulders.
Yes.
You know, they gonna think twice now. They gonna have some respect for you when they get up and walk away and say, whoa, okay. Yeah.
And it's gonna be so that
they gonna come back and say, "Hey, let's hook up again."
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Mama, because the person we had on yesterday, shout out to Miss Judy Jackson, man.
Judy Jackson,
on the check and put the hearts up for the mom.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean. So we just had her on the show yesterday. That was a real dope episode. We're gonna have her daughter come on.
Yeah,
that's so dope. And
let me tell you something. Just like you, women, she had a phenomenal story, right? Where you know she went through tragedy. And she went through some things that, you know, clearly she didn't want to go through when she was going through them. But instead of quitting, right, she used that fuel to move forward. And then she used that to also form different relationships and carry herself forward to where now she treats her family a certain way, right? So again, it's cause and effect. You know what I mean? What
he said? John Graham. Shout out to John, my bro. Yes. On the check-in.
What's up, John? What's going on, man? You know what I mean? Yeah, man. Let me, you know, I got a question. And I don't think I've ever asked you this. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know, because we've been through so much, I don't think I ever really sat down to think about it in this manner. But by us talking about it, I got a question for you, Ma. Like, when you were younger, right? Like, where did you see yourself? Like, where did you see yourself as an adult? Like, what kind of life did you want when you were coming up and you were going to college and you had me? Because I remember you had me, you was in college already. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember, you know, as a baby, you was doing your homework and that type of shit. But what kind of life did you see for yourself? Even if it's not where you are now, what did you kind of envision to be? I never asked you this before. Like, what did you want to be when you were an adult?
Figured I would be successful and no matter what I did. Okay. You know, when I first started out, I'm gonna be a singer, a rapper, you know, as kids coming up. And then, you know, I thought about different careers that I could have been, that I thought would fit me and the lifestyle I live. Like, I'm gonna be a correction officer. Then I said, I don't wanna be a correction officer. Then, you know, so for a period of time I was uncertain, but I knew no matter where I went in life, I would be successful because of the type of person I am. And I was doing something for myself. Okay. So the energy that I would put into it to pursue it, I knew I'd be all right. I just took a sharp left. And then taking that sharp left gave me a chance to sit down and say, okay, now all the fun and games is done.
Yeah.
Done did this, you done did that, you done did this. Look where you at now. You know what I'm saying? There's a gap in your life. What are we gonna do? How we get this back on track?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a minute, you know what I'm saying? I had to step away from my family for a minute to get me together. So in returning back to society, yeah. I went on to school, got my degrees, did this and that, got me a place to live. Blah, blah, blah. I rebuilt my foundation. And then I said, you know what? Do something that makes you happy, that you got love and passion for, that is so real because I've lived it.
Message.
And this is why I went in the human service field. See, in them shelter systems, ain't nothing a person came in there and I couldn't ID with. Nothing, from getting high, homelessness. So there was nothing I could not, and give them my best. You know, somebody took me by the hand, gave me a shot. So now I'm gonna take somebody by the hand and give them a shot. All walks of people, not judging them, from the sex offenders to the this to the that. You name it, I did it. But it fulfilled me.
That's real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was proud of myself. I was happy because if it was my conversation or that phone call or that connection, I made a difference.
That's what it's about.
I made a difference. And it might not mean a lot to others, but I knew where I was and I knew where I came from.
Wow.
And for me to be able to do it for myself and then give it to others, I was okay with it. When I walked away and said, okay, I'm tired of working. Moms took sick. Let me take care of my moms. I hung up the working. You know, my moms had dementia. In 2020, wow. I walked away. My moms come first.
Definitely. You know?
And yeah. I took care of my mother till she closed the eyes.
Message.
So now, you know, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I ain't rich, I ain't poor, but I'm comfortable. I'm able to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And I'm okay today. You know what I'm saying? And I got my family. And I hang out and party and get my drink of God, please.
I love it. You're living your best life.
You're living your best life. My best life. You know what I'm saying? During the time, I could have did things a little differently, but then it wouldn't have been me.
Hold on, yo. I got to say this to you because Jared used to play ball. You know, I grew up on stories. I heard you was a mean ball player. And I tell Jerry, my moms used to play ball. I used to play ball.
I went away on a scholarship to play ball and whatnot. They didn't have women's NBA. I'm so mad back then.
No.
You know, so that was a dead end for me. So I just came on home like, okay, I get the education, but the playing ball wasn't taking me nowhere. Now I sit there looking like, oh, that could have been me. That could have been me.
Sherrill out there.
I hear you. Oh, no, Ma, you know, I'm just saying, like, when you, I tell a story all the time of why me and Jared talk about all the time. Like, yo, because Jared played ball. You know, he's like Derek. He, came up playing ball. And I said, yo, Jared, I hated basketball to like fucking high school. Like, I would not play basketball. Like, I picked up basketball in high school.
I tried. He wanted to do gymnastics, swing. Can I put a ball in anybody?
But here's the story. I told you the story when I was younger.
My grandbaby gonna pay for UConn. I'm telling you. I'm gonna put a ball in her hand.
Jared, I love it. Jared, when I was younger, we was big on cartoons. You know, cartoons was fucking everything the kids back then. You know what I'm saying? And she's such a like fucking basketball heavy. She would come home, come in the room, and change it from cartoons to basketball. Do you know the look I used to give her every time she thought, what the fuck? Did you just turn the Smurfs off for this shit? I resented basketball.
And it's March Madness right now.
You know what I'm saying? Could be watching the match.
There's some games on now.
You're absolutely right.
March Madness, man.
And I resented basketball to like high school, man. So that's a funny story. So when Jared be like, "Yo, I played ball." My mom used to play ball, man. Like, y'all got that shit in common, man. Like,
whooped our ass. They whooped our ass. Shout out to y'all. We went to Florida. They whooped our ass. They got us on the court, off the court. I was like, got him on the first time I got this nigga on the court.
Wow.
It's 11 zip.
I tell this like, and my mother, again, and anybody that knows me, like, I went to Kennedy to play football. Like, Kennedy's one of the number one champion, winning championship high schools.
Yes.
I went there for football and ended up doing football, wrestling, and gymnastics. All three. And went to states, and my mother tell you, when I went to states and had all these trophies and all that. Like, so I just hated basketball. Like, oh, you want... Again,
I think because I wanted this so bad, I didn't play basketball.
Could be. That could be exactly it.
But also, basketball wasn't physical enough for me. Like, I needed the way to get that aggression out.
You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. We put the helmets on the pad, and I get to knock your ass out.
It was a too physical.
I didn't like contact sports, and I wasn't a sports person. Right. I remember... Right. Football being too aggressive.
Right, okay.
Basketball is different.
Okay.
But I definitely agree. I mean, as far as for me, I wanted to be a dancer. I love dance. Okay. I love ballet, jazz, tap. But it meant the conditioning and putting in the work and going off and leaving my parents.
Okay.
The reason I chose education is because as soon as I had my son, I had to figure out, because my husband working two jobs, how could I have a career, be there to pick them up, be able to make parent-teacher conference, and the best thing that came to my mind was education.
Okay.
But you know the funny part about it, the ironic part about it, I love it so much I don't consider it work now.
Okay.
It's something that I fell in love with because just like you said, I'm paying it forward. I watch kids from 9th grade to 12th grade. I follow the journey. When they come home from college, they call me. We go to lunch. We share the good, the bad, the happy times, the sad times. It is a connection that I couldn't put into words. And that was not my first true love. Right. It became my passion when I realized I was investing in people. I think it's the only profession where you invest in people.
Right. This is about the tap dancing thing, though. Mama love tap dancing, though. I would love to see a picture with
jazz,
you.
Jazz, ballet, tap, modern dance.
See, they don't understand back then. It was free.
Boys club, girls club, come on.
Put us in ballet with the tap dancing. Yeah. You know, you might
have to see that. I'm just saying, I would love to see that because in our neighborhood where we grew up, it was no motherfucking tap dancers. Name one person from Forest that was a tap dancer. Ooh.
I do, it was
ballet and tap dance and bus chair. Even in the center, they had a dance group in the center.
Yes,
like, they don't have that now.
This is what I'm saying.
All of that.
Dance. So I understand.
I don't know nothing about that because y'all too busy ripping and running the street.
But we were
actual kids where we did kid things.
Yes, hold like on, the movie Crooklyn, hopscotch in the middle of the street, block parties where you shut the whole block down, and
Time out. I'm from the Skelzy era. Make no mistake about it. I'm from the outside era. I am from the outside era. Before it was cell phones, before it was games, before it was beepers.
Remember the block parties where we close off the streets, cars can't come through?
There you go.
They call that, they say street fairs, but it was like street day or street fair day. It was like once a year we was able to do that. They used to do it on Lyman, but they don't do that shit on Lyman no more.
What happened to that?
Too much shit happening on Lyman.
They
don't have those programs anymore.
Yeah. I do want to give a dope story though. I remember one story, and I never told the story in the pod, right? And this goes back to mom and pops being in the education system.
Okay, let me hear this.
Never forget this shit. We go on a party, we like 16, 17. We go on the web by Yo Way. We on St. Paul Ave, bro. I remember she telling me, I don't want your ass going to this motherfucking party. And I'm like,
Did you have a curfew?
Maybe 12 one-ish. I ain't going front. So we get there, never forget this. Soon we get out the fucking car, the cab, all that blah, 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 nigga mad shit, yo. I'm like, ain't this about a bitch? We go in the spot, yo, the Sweet 16s, from Catholic school, the girls, whatever, it's my crew and another crew of kids, right? Next thing you know, about 50 dudes come into the party and they start showing grips and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, you gotta be shitting me. I ain't got nothing on me, B. Nothing. I'm with my Get Flesh crew. I ain't with the homies. I ain't with you, nigga. You isn't around. Nobody's around.
And you want to wear a Woodson jersey, a $200 jersey, $200 Jordans. I couldn't sleep.
One of those had to call it back. So what's the odds of me calling Pops and they don't never fucking go out as a family? Right. It's him, Doc, but they go in the shadow. They go in the fucking shadow.
Yeah. That's something I never worried with him.
Yeah. I gotta get this off though. But long story short, call them, boom, boom, yada, yada. They come back up from shadow. They like four or five cars deep. We go downstairs, nobody fuck with us. My pops in the middle of the fucking street with a fucking fedora on, talking about who fucking with my family. And the big dude who run the block just so happenly was in her class and was rocking with my pops.
Wow.
And just so happened, long story short, he gave him love, gave him a hug, and was like, yo, you know who this is? You know who this family? He's like, nah, I don't want to hear that. Who's fucking with my family? He was like, yo, da-da-da, whatever. Long story short, nigga said, my team fall back. I seen 50 motherfuckers go that way. And the same happened with two other individuals, bro. And that had he not known them, it would have been a serious motherfucking situation. But it's just about, what's the odds of that? Just being a good person and it just being in your class and you making an impact, and I say this from getting a terrible ass.
Roosevelt High School.
And the other crew got beat butt naked. Jay worked with the other crew. His brother was the other crew.
Crazy.
Said they beat him butt naked, bro. Straight like that.
Damn.
Out there, thank God I know. Thank God for the education. And that one scenario, shit.
Oh man,
it would have got ugly and that's in that. When that, woo, that was real. Thank God for school.
You know, life has a lot of lessons for y'all and for us.
Facts.
And you're supposed to learn from them and be able to adjust to the others and keep pushing. Not all good, some bad, but you take the good with the bad and you make it fit your agenda. Whatever you need from it, you take it and you run with it. And what you don't need, you let it go. You know, there's no always smooth sailing. It's not. You're going to hit a bump in the road. You might have to take two steps back to move 10 steps away. But it's all in the process of accomplishing and getting where you need to be. As long as you do not give up the drive that y'all have, the vision that you have, y'all gonna be good.
Message.
Y'all just stay focused, stay together, and keep it pushing. Sky's the limit.
Being your authentic self and following your dream. And that's hard to do. That's
hard. And you can't worry about all up. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta do what you gotta do, because this is your life now. This is what you're saying you want to do now. So whatever it takes to make it happen, that's what you gotta do.
Be on your grind.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's and y'all definitely know how to grind. Y'all definitely know how to grind.
So. I definitely agree.
What you thinking, Jay?
Nah, man, hearing that make you want to break down again, nigga. Like, I love y'all, you know what I'm saying? But like, I think this is dope, you know what I mean? Just once again, man, it's an honor that you just have y'all on. I love y'all so much, man. Thank you for the positive influences, the impact. Like, we definitely got to get y'all back on for Mother's Day now, because now the comments are like, we got to have y'all back on for Mother's Day, so we will do a part two,
It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure. It is my pleasure. I'm so proud of everything you've done, and it's so befitting, because we are both more than just a title. We're more than just a mom. We're more than just a sister. We're more than just a friend. So the uniqueness of that means we are more than just a title. We all here, especially moms all over the world. We are the caretaker, the nurse, the doctor, the disciplinary. We everything. Everything you need us to be.
Yeah.
Everything you need us to be. So
we definitely wear the mini hat.
What?
Mini hat.
I don't wear a hat, man. I got my hair natural now. It's too curly. I don't put a hat on to fuck this up. You know, I let Jay wear that. I want to pivot real quick before you know, we've been asking you guys, you know, a lot of questions and stuff, but you know, I want to give you guys the opportunity. Is there anything that maybe you wanted to ask us, or anything that you've ever wanted to know that maybe you've never asked us, that you wouldn't mind sharing? You know, ask us anything, you know. Is there anything that you want to know? You know, let's hear from you guys. What's on your mind? Let's start with Mama Love. Go ahead, Mama Love. What you thinking? Oh, Frozen?
Me? Wow, you good? Yeah.
You.
Me, Sweetie, or you want to go? Because I have one question.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, the question is, Jared, when did you realize, finally, when was that turning point in your life where you know you have to put on your grown man pants and step up to the plate? That one defining moment that took you from teenager to adulthood? And the consequences on that.
It was two. The one was the high school. So going from Catholic school, going to public school, that fucking junior year, getting the two credits, and you telling me if I don't fucking graduate on time, you're out the house. That's it. That was one of them ones. Get your shit on point. You're getting the hell out the house. And it was like, yo, I got to get it together. And I did Saturday school, public school, fucking, they had me in Sunday school. I'm learning about the Bible. They had me in everything. My shit with the fucking, everybody outside chilling. I got the Jordan sad face.
Hated it.
That was one. But also, like, just to give you credit too, I think when Jameer was born, just straight up, when Jameer was born, it was just game over. So the example that you and Pop set, can't play no games with that shit. You
my Barack Obama baby, born in 2008. Man, he's destined for things, Bobby, because that's our first African-American president.
Yeah.
So when he was born in 2008, he's history.
You're not putting no respect on Clinton?
I'm going for my Barack Obama. Jameer's born 2008. That is the defining moment of history.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What about you? Has there ever been a question that, you know, you never asked me before that, you know, you feel like you want to ask me now or anything?
I think now, in your later years, you know, you was working, you had your little businesses, and da, 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 but I've noticed you've been focusing all on, this is like an all or nothing right here. What made you say, this is it?
That's gangster.
So it's the same thing like Jared. It was multiple things. First of all, you know, and you've been around for everything. So, you know, I started music in California, and you know how long I've been doing music, you know, dealing with Rough Riders and Murder, Inc. And, you know all the situations musically I've had throughout the years and what I was doing musically. I just never really felt like the talent I already know is inert. I already know I'm talented. I've always known that. That's why I've always moved a certain way. But I never really felt like I had the support system to see it through. And the people that I had around me, one, their belief in me wasn't enough to push me forward. And two, my belief in them wasn't enough for me to propel forward with who I had in my circle at the time.
Okay.
So when Jared came to me with this, I felt complete confidence because one, I've seen his growth, right? I've seen his growth and I know where he started and I know his story of how he transitioned and got the jobs and what he was doing.
Yeah.
And I know his work ethic, right? So when he came to me with this, I told him straight up, like I didn't sugarcoat shit. I didn't lie to him. Bro, I don't know nothing about no fucking podcast. I tell it 100 times. I listened to like NPR podcasts and here and there, you know, but I didn't know nothing about, but I didn't listen to Joe, but I didn't listen to nobody. I didn't listen to podcasts. But when he came to me, he was like, "Yo, Cuzzo, this is what I'm doing. This is, you know, da da da." I felt more confident in his abilities and then my abilities mixed with his abilities to say, okay, we can make this happen. That was the first step, right? And then when we got started, still was like, "Are you sure this shit is going to work?" You know what I'm saying? Like we both were still working, but I think it was like the start of the fourth season where we actually started to get momentum, where we started to get so much momentum where it was like he started off with one show a week, and then we had to start doing two shows a week because the momentum started to build, right? Yeah. And the support started to build. And once I seen what the show started to mean to the community and that the message of what we were doing, like you said, like a public servant, once I realized like,
yeah,
okay, this is what we're doing, it made me feel good. You understand what I'm saying? Right. It made me feel good to say, like, yeah, I know I did a lot of crazy shit coming up, but how do we stop the next generations from living the life that we all kind of lived coming up, what we lived through, right? It has to be a better way. So it was putting my faith in him, right? And saying, listen, bro, like, okay. Like, you understand? Like, me and him have these times.
Faith in each other, bro. Facts.
I'm playing with you, man. Like, if this is all enough and this is fucking all enough, and like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not a game that we're going to play. But you got to have faith in your partner. You know what I'm saying? He's my partner. He came to me and we built on each other's weaknesses, right? I didn't know podcasting. He didn't really understand business. I do business. He did podcasting. And we came together and we formed Voltron, right? So that was the first thing in that scenario. The second thing was with me understanding my talents and having that work ethic and me hustling since, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, I've always been a person that I want to be rewarded for my fucking work ethic, not your work ethic. Because too many times, and Jared could be a testament to this shit, too many times,
yep,
we grew up on work hard, keep your head down, work hard, just be a good worker, and you'll succeed, you'll excel. But we keep running into this fucking wall where the harder we work, the quicker we run into bullshit. The harder we work, the quicker we getting fired. The harder we work, the more walls we're running into. And it's just like, why are we going to continue to make other people rich? Why are we going to continue to provide this lifestyle for other people's fucking families based on our talent? And we're not getting no fucking reward from it.
That's it.
And I guess tired of that shit after a while. You get tired of it, right? So, you know, it was that, like, I'm past the point of working for somebody in my life.
In capacity. Yeah, we got to figure it out. Right? I ain't go for it to add to, like, even with us both doing music, bro, I would add, like, podcasting and what we doing, like you said, the fucking impact we having on the community, bro. Like, I just feel like this is the one time I can honestly say that. It's like, yo, this is, I feel like we were meant to do this shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's a reason for everything, man. And if you think about all of our stories together, how we grew up together,
have the gift to gab.
Absolutely. So. And you see, you know how we are in the party, moms. Just,
yeah, no. they like to hear the Saturday voice. They like talking.
Yeah. Mama love. Let me tell you this, right? And we talk about understanding what success looks like, right? Be clear. I didn't partner with Jared when he worked at BBQ's. I took him on vacation. Yo, come on, come vacation. Let me show you how we do things. Let me show you how we live. Let me tell you how we vacation. We gonna rent the fucking presidential. We gonna be like the presidential. Yeah, that shit is $1,000 a night. Don't worry about it. We gonna be on the top floor, private entrance. Let me show you how we live. And I see what you're doing. I know you're working hard, but let me show you it's a different way. But I didn't partner with him at that time. You understand?
Okay.
Because he wasn't ready. He didn't fully understand what it took to get to this level. But then when he came back, he quit, started getting different jobs, and started climbing a ladder. He started forming his own relationships. Now I can relate. We can have these boss conversations. We can have these, I've been in corporate. Now his experiences match what he wants to do, because that's very important. You can't just partner with somebody, like you said, Mama Love, right? The conversations, what do we have in common? We don't have anything in common, right? The conversations are completely different, right? But once his conversation started to change, it didn't matter that he didn't know everything. I don't know everything. It didn't matter. It just mattered that his conversation changed, and mentally he showed that he was ready for the next step, right? Okay. So that made me feel confident and say, okay, now this is the time. And like he said, if this is what we were meant to do, then guess what? We had to go through all that other shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Bro. We had to go through all the other shit we went through to get us to this point, to be able to provide this platform, not only for ourselves, but for others, and to be able to bring this message and try to uplift our community in a way that we feel like it's lacking.
Message.
Thank you, Jay.
And that's real shit, man. That's why first of all, what other show is bringing their mothers on?
Facts.
And that's a real talk, man. Some people are afraid to have this conversation. I would have this episode every week if I fucking have to. You shitting me? You know what I mean? Like what we've been able to do, bro, since season 4. Who we've been able to have on, like, just to tell you, y'all moms, y'all see it.
I see it.
We grind every day. We have bad days. We have good days. We have in between days. We're grinding with each other. We're getting it out the mud together, and we're doing everything ourselves. We're doing our booking, our scheduling, reaching out to people. We're doing our interviews. We're doing the questions. We're doing the clips. We're doing our business.
We're doing the artwork.
We're doing family.
Everything.
And it's just a lot, you know what I mean? And without y'all support, that shit is not possible.
Yeah.
That's real,
right,
man.
Well, yeah.
I'm proud of you. Just keep it up. And it you know, it's gonna get where you need to be, and it's gonna pay off in the long run. Gonna be so happy. Y'all gonna really be talking shit, smoking your cigars and doing.
Right, I am so very proud of you. Yeah. Your persistence and your perseverance and being able, you know what, be 10 toes down all the time. And that's hard to do. Yeah. It's hard to smile all the time when you don't want to smile. You know what I'm saying? Or do what you don't want to do. But when you're on your grind and you put your mind to it, and that's one of the things I admire about both of y'all. Yeah. Sticking it through all of it.
You feel like we owe it to you guys, you know, and I, you know, Jerry, he's gonna speak on it because he knows we have these conversations. Like, listen, we couldn't have been here without you guys, but we also couldn't have been here without our ancestors and whoever paved the road for you guys, right? Nice. And me and Jared have made this decision that we understand that we might have to be the sacrificial. I've been made that decision. That's what my mom's have been doing. I've made the decision a long time ago that I was going to be the sacrificial kind of lamb in my family. Like, somebody has to break the mold. And this is where me and him really connect. Like, somebody has to break the mold to start the generational wealth building, to get us to a level where not only is it feasible, but we're actually doing it. It's a possibility. We've initiated it. And now we can start to change our lineage, because without change, then you keep repeating the same fucking cycle over and over over again. You understand what I'm saying? So me and him understand that, guess what? The work we're doing now, maybe we might not live to see it come to fruition in full form. But if we can at least, Like now my niece is 1 year old, right? And she's the baby, and you know, Jared's sister had a baby, and we got babies coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And our sons are still young enough to still have full adult lives, you know, God willing, in front of them. It's our duty to leave them something behind that's tangible.
That's it.
And I'm not just talking like money. I'm just talking about a lifestyle that can be built upon that's better than where we started at. And if we can do that, then that's the win-win.
Yeah, just a safety net so they can take a chance. Safety net. So sometimes we couldn't take a chance. Yeah, I had to do what y'all had to do. I just listened to both of y'all, what y'all both dreamed to do, and sacrifice y'all made so we could be right. You know what I'm saying? And that's real. So that's what we got to do. We got to do the same fucking shit, man. And we're going to do it. And it's for y'all. We're going to do it. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
Not even a question.
Love well, to hear it.
Take it.
Yeah. I believe in you. So
I believe it's gonna happen, and I got much love for all y'all. It's funny. It's so funny how you've been in my life before they've been in my life. You know, how we knew each other. It's just everything comes full circle.
Full circle, right?
Full circle, like Lion King. The circle of life. It's true.
And you know, for everybody out there listening, once again, like the episodes that we do, the Mama Love episode, the fan appreciation episodes, where we allow you guys to come on and pitch your ideas and network. This is what we're doing it for. Like, we're doing it for the culture. We're doing this to show you that we're authentic, that it's nothing for us to hide because we just don't give a fuck. Like, we made mistakes. So what? You understand? We did ignorant shit. So what? Guess what? The things that we did are still, we still draw a line in the sand at what we do. So we all going to make mistakes as human beings. We all going to do shit that might not be savory at times as human beings. That's fine. But we draw a line in the sand and we're going to say, listen, our names will never be synonymous with certain actions, right? Our names will never be synonymous with certain deeds that people are doing, right? We choose to be the protectors of the community and the protectors of the culture because we do this shit for the culture, right? And it cannot be done and it cannot be possible without you guys' support. So you guys, all the comments and all the supports and all the subscribers, man, this is why we keep doing it like this, because you're showing us that you're on the right path. Keep moving forward. We're supporting you. And with that, shit, we can't stop, Jay.
We can't stop, man. Matter of fact, with that said, Tuesday, we got fan appreciation episode. That's so if fact. Y'all want to pull up, small businesses, whatever you are, man, you got something you want to promote, whatever's going on in the community, you got an event coming up, pull up, man, promote it. Let the people know about it. We're giving y'all opportunity. This is our platform, y'all. It ain't just us. This is our shit. So please pull up. You know what I mean? Say you get 1-2. And then on Thursday, we got Will Classic, former boxer, man. His pops passed away in the ring. Yeah. He's going to tell the story about growing up. He ended up growing up doing 15 years in prison, ran with Boy George's crew downtown on 138th.
Wow.
Made millions. And because of his father, what happened with his father is the reason why they walk out now in boxing.
Touch
so
gloves.
It's going to be a history, and they touch gloves touch because gloves. Of what happened to his pops.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Crazy. It's gonna be a really
Jay, we gonna give them the special about that episode too. We gonna throw it in,
and we're gonna have co-host middleweight champion, former middleweight champion Peter Quillen coming on. He's gonna be Peter our co-host Quillen
coming first on the co-host. Nice. Yeah, so our first co-host this show, we're gonna interview a person that his family has a boxing story. And our co-host is a former boxing champion. Once again, we doing shit that nobody does.
I love it.
You know what I mean? Nobody else is out there doing, but we're doing it for y'all because, again, sports is one of the number one ways that as a culture, we see a way out. We see we can do this and be successful, right? So we need to be educated about sports, right? The good, the bad, the ugly. You understand what I'm saying? So this is why we do episodes like that. And we're trying to give you guys the information, man. So, you know, tune in, man. And I love this episode, man. All right. I don't lie. You guys did great, man. You guys were both.
Yeah, yeah. I did great.
Love. Yeah.
All right.
Did
great, man.
Till the next time.
We survived.
They sure did. Now our Friday night begins. Good love.
You know what it is, man. This has been another successful episode of More Than the Title. We're now in the hundreds. What's this, 104?
104,
episode 104, man. Mama Love episode, man. And it was, you know, it was brought to you guys, for you guys, by you guys. You understand what I'm saying? And we're going to continue to move this thing forward, man. We see y'all next time, man. Hey, More Than the Title.
Man, More Than the Title, baby.
What you know about me? Seeing it all, heard it all. What you know about me? I've done it all, just won it all. Oh, what you know about me? I've seen it all, heard it all. Oh, what you know about me? Oh, what you know about me?